This podcast is intended to support UK healthcare professionals with education. The information provided in this podcast is not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment, and patients are encouraged to consult healthcare providers, including nurses, for any medical questions or concerns.
Welcome to Stoma and Continence Conversations from Coloplast Professional, where healthcare professionals and experts by experience discuss the latest hot topics in the worlds of stoma, continence care and specialist practice. I'm Hannah Patterson. I've worked in specialist care and I'm currently the Ostomy Care Associate Education Manager at Coloplast. This time we're catching up on WCET and ASCN 2024.
I think there's been a real shift in society towards kind of the destigmatization of chronic conditions and disabilities of all kinds. And I think that's affecting the stoma care world as well. Although they are skin and leakage experts, what I actually see them as is holistic stoma patient support.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. As the title said, we are catching up on all things WCET and ASCN, which was a fantastic event held in Glasgow. It was last month now. I keep forgetting it was back in September. It was a busy weekend, long weekend, but absolutely fantastic. So many nurses there. I think we had over 1,000 nurses from 50 different countries, which was amazing. So lots of different people to talk to, lots of different interaction. And also during that time, we had the Coloplast Symposium. And my guest today, Sam, we were lucky enough to have Sam present at our symposium on the Sunday late afternoon, early evening. So I'm going to bring Sam in now. So hi, Sam. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Hannah. Great to be with you.
So as I said, you presented at our symposium on the Sunday, and what a fantastic turnout we had. I would say I really enjoyed the symposium, but I was actually one of the unlucky ones that had to get removed because the symposium was that busy. I was actually having to sit outside the room, but I heard the buzz afterwards when people were coming out, and really, really good to hear that. So I'm really hoping that today you'll be able to have a little catch up with me and the listeners that weren't there about what happened at the symposium. But I suppose, first of all, we should actually get you to introduce yourself if you could.
Sure. Yeah, so I'm Sam Dunn. I am a independent research consultant. I've got a company called Cohere based in Edinburgh in Scotland. And I am a what's known as a user researcher and a user-centered designer. So it's my job to help companies in the private and public sector to understand their users more deeply, so the people who use their products or their services, and then help these organizations use that knowledge to essentially create better products and services that hopefully improve people's lives.
Fantastic. So is this the first time you've worked within the stoma care aspect of things, or have you had any contact with stoma care previously?
Yeah, so actually I've been kind of quietly working in the world of stoma care for about 10 years now, working a lot with Coloplast over the years, doing a lot of user research with people living with stomas all around the world, having lots of kind of deep, intimate conversations with people and observing them in their change routines and their daily lives, and having conversations with a lot of healthcare professionals working in stoma care as well, and then kind of bringing all that knowledge together to try to find new ways to create innovations, basically, for patients and for stoma care professionals.
Amazing. I love the way you say quietly, because it doesn't sound like anything you've done. It's so amazing, everything that you've done. And I'm really looking forward to hearing a bit more about the symposium myself, because I feel like I missed out a little bit. I mean, I said the room was full. I believe there was over 160 nurses in the room, wasn't there? You know more than me. You were standing up there.
Yeah, well, it was all a bit of a blur to me, but it was really, really busy, a really good vibe. And it was quite an interesting experience for me because, like I said, yeah, I have been working quietly in the world of stoma care because that's not my usual day job. You know, my usual day job is going out, having conversations, kind of analyzing that data, trying to make sense of all these insights. And it was actually my first time talking to a healthcare professional audience like that, which was a real privilege. It was really nice to do and to kind of share some of these insights. And obviously, a lot of the stuff wasn't, you know, I made a bit of a joke at the start saying, you know, it's weird for me to kind of talk to people who are experts in the world of stoma care and tell them what I'm hearing, because of course they're the experts, not me. But I think hopefully it was useful for them to kind of get that outside perspective as well, to see what I've kind of made of the state of kind of stoma care in a way, and the work that they do.
I think sometimes it is nice to have somebody from the outside looking in and actually putting more of a, almost like a different slant on things. Because I think when you're working within it, it's like most jobs, when you're working within it, you can be a little bit tunnel vision. You know what you've got to do. And actually to have a, almost like that bit of peripheral vision can really be helpful, to have somebody to give you that peripheral vision, actually go, oh. And from what I heard from some of these nurses, there was almost light bulb moments throughout the room, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully. Yeah, I think we've got a lot of good feedback. I think a lot of the work that I do is kind of helping people zoom out and see the bigger picture and kind of make sense of things. Now, you know, that was the title of the talk as well, as making sense of the mental burden, trying to make sense of what patients are experiencing, but also make sense of what nurses are actually doing themselves as well, and giving them a different view on what they're doing to help them actually be like, oh, yeah, that is what we're doing. And kind of that may think about their work in a different way, hopefully, that's maybe useful.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So have a little, I know it's probably really hard because we're only speaking now, but can you give us a little flavour about what you spoke about during the symposium?
Yeah, the main thrust, it was there was two parts. One part was about the role of healthcare professionals in supporting people through the kind of the emotional journey of having a stoma, and the vital and really valuable role that that stomach care nurses play. And that was with a bit of a model that I've kind of been working on to help try and articulate what it is I think that nurses are doing to support patients so well. And then the other part was about trying to understand what is the mental burden of living with a stoma. This kind of word, this kind of term, the mental burden, is something that I and colleagues at Coloplast have been talking about, to kind of think about why is it that, although, you know, stoma care has improved so much over recent decades, and the life of living with stomas has got easier in many ways, it's still, of course, very challenging in many ways. And many people I talk with have report kind of living with what we call a mental burden, this kind of like, you know, fullness of the mind and a sense of being overwhelmed, that can be really challenging. So what I've tried to do is try to unpick that and be like, okay, what is this big thing in the mind? What is taking up so much space? Can we make sense of it? Can we break it down into smaller parts so that we can then address them? And I'm helping a company like Coloplast kind of create products to address those different parts. But also what I was excited to do was share that with stomach care nurses to say, oh, these are the parts that I think you are already helping with. But also, if you think about it in this way, maybe it's useful for your care of your patients. So those really two parts.
Coloplast Professional offers a lot of educational material for specialist nurses and healthcare professionals. Visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk to find out more. One thing we constantly talk about within Coloplast Professional is that nurses don't always appreciate their own worth and what they do. They go, Indeed. Oh, I was just doing my job. And you know,
yeah.
No nurse is ever just doing their job. And specialist nurses are very much not doing their job. They're dealing with almost unique scenarios every single day. So you're never just doing your job. And the other one for me, of course, is the mental burden. Like you say, Coloplast at the moment, we've got a big focus on mental burden, especially mental burden when it comes to leakage. Obviously, we've got Halo out now. And it really is, again, those two points really resonate with me as a previous healthcare professional and also in the role I do now. And having been an ostomate previously, there's such resonation with me on both of those points. So looking towards the role, so what sorts of things were discussed when it came to the role of the nurse?
We had a bit of a game during the symposium where I was kind of asking questions. I was putting statements on the screen and asking nurses to raise a green card or a red card if they agreed with them or disagreed with them. And so I was kind of starting off by saying something a bit provocative, like, as a stoma care professional, I treat stomas and skin, not emotions and worries. And of course I had a sea of red cards in there, because obviously, you know, stoma care nurses are very involved in patients' emotions and worries, but like you say, maybe they don't always reflect on that. They think, you know, oh yeah, I care for stomas, but actually they're doing a huge amount of the work is about emotions and worries. And what I've heard in my research is from speaking with stomach care nurses is that can actually be a large percentage of the work that the stomach care nurses are doing. Sometimes at some stages of the patient journey, and with some patients, it can be, you know, well over 50% of the work. You know, because some nurses are telling me that, you know, actually choosing the product and getting the product on, that can sometimes be the easy bit, especially, you know, when you're very experienced, you know these things back to front. But the psychological and the emotional side can be more challenging. So, you know, I was kind of discussing that actually this psychological side can be a bit of the challenging part of being a stomach care nurse, actually. And another question I put up was that, another statement, sorry, was that some days it feels like I'm a therapist, but I'm not actually trained as one, which obviously got a lot of green cards. There was a couple of red cards because I think maybe some people are trained as a therapist as well, which is fantastic. But yeah, what I was sharing is that a lot in my conversations with stomach care nurses, I often hear nurses say something when I bring up the world of, you know, the emotional side, the psychological side of care. Nurses will often say something like, "I'm not a therapist, but," and then they'll go on to tell me all these things that they do that actually to me sound a lot like therapy. And because, you know, they do recognize that they actually are really engaged in the emotional and psychological side of their patients' lives. But there's also on the other side this recognition that, of course, stomach care nurses are not psychologists, should not kind of specialists. And sometimes it feels like you're kind of maybe being dragged into things that you don't really want to be involved in. Like, you know, sometimes I heard some nurses say things like, "Oh, you know, it feels like I'm a social worker sometimes on top of my stomach care job." And sometimes, you know, patients can, one of the challenges is that they can get a bit reliant on that kind of therapeutic care and want to kind of talk for hours. And actually, you know, stomach care nurses are very busy, short on time, and they don't have the space that a therapist or psychologist might have to talk about these things sometimes, which can be frustrating. That's, you know, that I, you know, we talked about how there's, you know, always more and more pressure on nurses to deliver more in less time, and that's kind of counter to this desire that they have to support patients emotionally.
Absolutely. I think, again, that just you saying nurses are being expected to, and I think this is across the board, across all specialities, ward nurses, everyone's being expected to do more, but not being given any more time to do it. And yeah, there's only so many hours in a day, so many hours in a shift, and you've all of a sudden trying to squeeze more and more into it. Almost makes you sound like magicians, doesn't it? You've got to try and fit more into less, square peg, round hole.
Yeah, and where I kind of went with this in the presentation was that actually I think that the system maybe doesn't actually appreciate what stomach care nurses are doing. Maybe because stomach care nurses almost maybe don't even appreciate the value they're doing, as you mentioned earlier, that sometimes that, you know, "Oh, that's just part of my job, but actually this is amazingly valuable work." And the one quite provocative statement I put up was, "Sometimes it feels like others see us as bag changers." Of course, which got very quickly a lot of green cards all over the room. You know, because I've heard a lot of nurses share frustration with me that, you know, their healthcare colleagues can sometimes see them as a bag changer. They think all they do is go around changing stomach bags all day because they don't often see the other dimensions to their work. But actually, you know, it's a very, very kind of multidimensional work. You know, there's training the patients, there's giving them consolation, helping them, feel better, having these conversations. There's the practical part of solving issues, not just changing a bag, but trying to figure out what's going on with the skin. So many different things that other healthcare professionals aren't necessarily appreciating. And even sometimes there's sometimes more flattering perceptions from healthcare colleagues that, "Oh, you know, you're the skin and leakage experts." And that's nice. Of course, yes,
stomach nurses are
skin. That is nice. Skin and leakage experts, that is true. But nurses are doing so much more than that. So what I was kind of proposing to the nurses is although they are skin and leakage experts, what I actually see them as is holistic stoma patient support. And that's kind of something that I've created a bit of a model around to help explain what I think it is nurses are doing. And for nurses, but maybe also for their other colleagues as well.
I love that. I love that holistic word. And because I think that's what care is. It is holistic. You're not just treating the skin. You're not just treating the leakage. You're not just changing the bag. You're doing all of it in a holistic way, to patient-centered, holistic. Oh, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, and it jumps around. I see nurses kind of, you know, I've had the pleasure of observing nurses doing their work in wards, on the ward, and in clinics as well. Just, you know, just sitting there like a bit of a fly on the wall. And I've obviously, in recent years, I've been looking at what is the emotional side of care that they're doing. How is that working? What kind of percentage of work is that? And it's amazing how much of the role that is involved in that kind of side of things, and how much they can jump seamlessly between the practical sides and the emotional sides.
They're quite athletic, these stoma nurses are.
Oh yeah.
So now looking on to the second aspect of it, so where you looked on the mental burden side of things. So how did that fit in then alongside the first aspect?
Well, yeah, maybe I should just take a moment just to kind of explain a little bit more about the holistic stoma patient support model, because then I can tell you how that fits in. What I proposed to the nurses was that the holistic stoma patient support has these three parts: the clinical part, the practical and the educational part, and the emotional part. And it's these kind of like a three bubble Venn diagram there, where they're all kind of these complementary overlapping parts. And what I was proposing was that the practical side and the emotional side that nurses have give them this unique role as what I like to call not a life coach, but a life with a stoma coach. So nurses can kind of like become these coaches to patients and kind of help them tackle the challenges that are obviously going to present to them when they adjusting to life with a stoma. And some of the nurses I spoke with indeed talked about themselves as a coach and said, you know, I need to provoke my patients. I need to push them to do things to get back to living their life. And like talked about some people were talking about the coaching techniques that they were using. What the mental burden parts that of the presentation was trying to do is kind of break down what is it that's in stoma patients' minds that's taking up so much of their headspace. And can we break that down into different parts to try to understand that?
Ah.
The starting point for that is that what I observe from talking to patients is that, you know, they're adjusting to so much when they're adjusting to life with a stoma. There's the fundamentals of adjusting to a stoma, you know, trying to get to grips with the bags, the ordering, the disposing, the changing, the cleaning, all these, the measuring, you know, the cutting, all these little things that you have to kind of get used to. But then actually from talking to lots of patients, what I'm hearing is that actually the what is really taking up so much of their headspace beyond just those basics is that their stoma overlaps with their health and kind of maintaining their health and the other healthcare challenges that they might have, and also their life. How do they fit this stoma into their life, and how do they what new challenges present themselves as they try to kind of get back to their life? And that's again another kind of three bubble Venn diagram, and where the stoma overlaps with the health and the patient's life. And by their life, I mean their relationships, their responsibilities, be that work or parenting or grandparenting, whatever it might be, and also their activities, like what do they do that make them, the things that they do that make themselves. Where those three things overlap is where all these questions and anxieties and problems and new challenges come from. And each of those areas I've given a little name. Should I take you through those?
Yes, please.
So essentially, where the stoma bag and the health overlaps, like I say, there's often stoma patients have got a lot of other health concerns coming from. Usually, you know, the stoma has for some people, of course, the stoma can be a huge relief health-wise, and it can solve a lot of problems. But for some, it's also a part of a longer journey with difficult health challenges and discomfort and pain and other things that they're worried about. And their stoma brings new challenges in terms of health. And that what I noticed from speaking to stoma care patients is that a lot of stoma patients have this new category in their mind, which I've called keeping my stoma area healthy. That becomes a new concern, a new worry.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's a bit about the often maintaining the health of the skin, right? Because as we know, that's so essential to keeping the bag stuck to your body, having that healthy skin.
I'm thinking back to when I had my stoma. Absolutely. My skin health was something I never really considered. And then all of a sudden it becomes a forefront of your mind. You feel that all stoma patients will know, you get that, the itch, as we call it, and you think something's going on under there. And that becomes a part of your life. Not necessarily, I mean, obviously I was worried about leaking, but it was the detriment of the leakage as well, what the leakage could do moving forward as well. It's not just the embarrassment of having a leak, but what can the leak cause long-term with your skin and things like that? And yet all of a sudden you become almost vaguely obsessed about this little patch of skin on your tummy being the most healthy patch of skin on your whole entire body.
Yeah. Yeah. And so no wonder it's taking up so much of people's minds. And I think it can be quite baffling sometimes. That's one of the quotes I shared in the symposium was from a woman who's saying that her, you know, she was quite baffled by the skin. She just wanted to cry because it was so, she was so confused and so, it was so sore and she didn't know how to help it. And she was finding it really emotional, trying to kind of keep this, it was, you know, such a daily struggle trying to keep the skin healthy. And like you say, this, especially, you know, there's a huge worry about the leakage and having a blowout, but there's even that worry about, oh, what's a little bit of seepage under the base plate doing to my skin? And having that, you know, having that in your mind all the time, 24/7 is really draining. So that's one category where the kind of stoma bag and health create a new health challenge in your life.
Yeah.
And then of course, where your stoma and your life overlap, where you have this, you know, your relationships, your responsibilities and your activities, you have this new area of trying to like live the life that I want to and need to with my stoma, which of course nurses will fully know the challenges of that. There's all sorts of new challenges that can become quite big parts of people's, take up a big part of people's headspace. So, you know, can I do the activities I'm used to? Can I go swimming? What do I have to think about when I go swimming? What new challenges have I got when I do that? How do I get myself dressed? What can I wear the clothes I was wearing before? Can I get away with this kind of color? Can I get away with this kind of cut? Can I wear the jeans I used to wear? Can I wear sports leggings? All these new questions, new challenges. And of course, intimacy is a huge one in this yeah. area as well, of like, you know, how do I maintain an intimate relationship with my partner? Or how do I date? How do I go about these things? All these new challenges can just have all these questions and new challenges can just be floating around patients' mind, just sapping their energy all day. And obviously, this is what nurses often do a fantastic job of helping patients deal with, of processing these things and, you know, coaching them through these things, saying like, okay, yeah, it might be difficult going on a date, but maybe you could try this. And sharing what I see nurses do, a part of when I was explaining the life of the stoma coaching, what I see nurses often do is kind of, you know, sharing stories from other patients that they've had, and, you know, yeah. confidentially, of course, but like kind of sharing that. Although, you know, some nurses have lived experience, but many don't. So they often share the lived experience of their other patients' lives with living with the stoma, and that could be so helpful, having that perspective and that having that information from people who've been there before.
Again, I'm laughing just thinking back to my own experiences. I know I'm a keen horse rider. I was pretty sure I was never going to get back on a horse. I did. I even fell off whilst having my stoma. My yeah. only concern was lying on the floor, making sure I'd not had a leak whilst lying on the floor, then get back up again. But it's amazing how I wasn't so much worried about the fact that I'd fallen off, had I broken anything. It was more like, okay, stoma bag, all right, yeah, we're okay. Nothing else is going on. That's absolutely fine. And relationships again, and it comes back to very much that body image type of thing. And
yeah.
again, looking to what Colourpath's doing, obviously we've just launched the black bag. So again, it's looking towards yeah. those different perceptions of body image. And I think body image, and you've probably found, again, perceptions are different from person to person. Somebody's perception of body image might be to make their bag as invisible as possible. Some people, yeah. it might be body image to embrace that. Some people might be just yeah. to match with what they're wearing. These different perceptions of body image. And again, that's almost different prongs again for the nurses. So they're having to almost find out what these individuals' concerns are with body image, what is their aim. And it's, we've got all these areas, and then you've almost got different patient types within the areas, haven't you?
Yeah, what I find fascinating, I shared a bit of this in the symposium as well, is that I think there's been a real shift in society towards kind of the destigmatization of chronic conditions and disabilities of all kinds. And I think that's affecting the stoma care world as well. And I think that all, you know, and I shared a picture of a great guy who's got his stoma bag hanging out at a kind of a street party somewhere. And, you know, of course, not everyone's going to be that loud and proud about their stoma, but I'm seeing a shift over, you know, over 10 years working in stoma care, I've seen a shift of people being that little bit less concerned with hiding their stoma away and more interested in kind of integrating it into their sense of self and their sense of style as well. So it's less about like trying to hide it from sight, but more about just trying to maybe not make it quite so prominent. But if somebody sees it, it's maybe not such a big deal. And I think that's where the black bag is doing such a great job, is that, you know, people wear a lot of dark clothes. They can kind of have it just, you know, maybe they've got some dark jeans on, maybe the top of it's showing over their dark jeans, but that's maybe not a big issue to some people. And I think that's interesting. I think people can, is often I see that people can live more of their full life when they're not so worried about hiding it away and more just about, you know, keeping it on the down low a little bit, but not exactly embracing it. You don't have to shout about it, but it's if it's just kind of part of your part of your style, part of your body. That's that could be quite freeing for some people.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. Over the last 10 years, especially, I think there has been a massive shift in patient perception, but also public perception as well. I think a lot more is out there now. I mean, we're lucky enough that we've got celebrities, you know, the likes of Molly that was on The Traitors. We've got Adele Roberts. Yes. We've got Louise Thompson that are embracing and actively showing life with a stoma. The soaps that are now in, we can't believe that, you know, a couple of months ago, there was no mention of stomas at all on soaps. Now, two of the biggest soaps on TV in Coronation Street and Hollyoaks are both now have characters with stomas.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And of course, then we have our wonderful ambassadors that work with Coloplast as well. And they're always doing their bit for creating that awareness of life with a stoma out there. And this is where I think I'm on the fence sometimes when it comes to social media. But I actually think in some ways, social media has created a real positive awareness for stomas.
Absolutely.
And I think that's been the real difference over the last 10 years, that 10 years ago, social media was still really quite in its infancy almost in a lot of ways. And now there's the, you know, bigger platforms like Instagram, especially, I think, for things like that, where it's more protected. And I think it's amazing to see these people, I say, not just showing it out and about, but actually showing normal life with a stoma as well.
Yeah. And what I've seen in my research observing nurses is that nurses are adapting to this growth in social media and the growth of the kind of stoma influencers. And that's really fascinating to see as well, because I see that that's where nurses play this really vital role as a life with a stoma coach, because, you know, you can't necessarily trust everything you see on Instagram. You can't trust everything you see online. And nurses are really helping people kind of, they're sometimes suggesting they go and look at these things. They're like, oh, you know, maybe you should look at this person because they've got a similar challenge to you or a similar lifestyle to you or whatever it is. So sometimes the nurses are kind of pushing people towards these things, but they're also giving this great balance to things as well, and saying like, oh, you know, what they're showing, that's just social media. It's not the whole truth, maybe. And maybe you don't need to be quite like this person, or you don't need to hold yourself to this particular standard or whatever it might be. So nurses are helping people navigate this kind of new world in some ways, which I think is such a important role.
See, they've also become social media experts on top of everything.
Exactly,
else.
Exactly. They've had to, yeah.
But that's absolutely amazing. I mean, I'm so disappointed I missed it. But fortunately for myself and others that missed it, the symposium is now actually available on the website.
Yes.
So thank goodness for that. So I will now be watching, but I feel like I've had a sneaky peek now. So thank you so much, Sam. But before we go, I was also lucky enough during the time at WCT ASCN, I caught up with the president of the WCET, and he had this message for all the nurses.
Hello, welcome. It's so fantastic to have you here. I hope you enjoyed this Congress. We're also thrilled to have you there to get more knowledge, to be able to share, to be able to learn from each other. So on behalf of WCT, I'm Laurent Chabal, the WCT president, and kiss and hugs.
So how fantastic is that? And I feel so privileged that he spent a bit of time out of the conference to have a word with little old me in the corner. So thank you so much. And thank you to all the nurses that attended. It was great to see so many of you there. So don't forget to catch up on our symposium on www.coloplastprofessional.co.uk. It is on there now. And once again, thank you so much, Sam, for joining me. And I look forward to really hearing how this model progresses, because to me, it's so important, so great what you're doing. And it's empowering for both nurses and patients, I feel.
Yeah, hopefully that's the idea. The nurses and everyone who's working with them as well, to kind of understand the value that nurses are having and understanding the experience of patients.
Brilliant. So to everybody listening, thank you so much. And we look forward to you joining us next time. Thank you for listening. To see more of the wide variety of education we offer, please visit coloplastprofessional.co.uk. See you next time.
Stoma and Continence Conversations is a Vibrant Sound Media production for Coloplast Professional.